This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Best Day Ever podcast. I am Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you're here with us. If this is the first episode in February that you are listening to, we are right in the middle of a series of episodes about godly friendship and community. And if that is something that makes you say, oh, never mind, I don't have time for that, or oh, never mind, I've tried that, it doesn't work, hang on before you stop listening. I'm really excited about the interview guest that we have today. But one thing I want to tell you, if this is the first episode you're listening to, is I understand that godly community can be difficult. I have been the new girl at least 6 times that I can think of in my adult life, where it seemed like everywhere I turned, there were already circles of friends and no one needed a new friend. And so there have definitely been those times of feeling alone, those times of feeling left out or ignored or overlooked. I understand all of it. I also understand the wounds that sometimes hurt even more when you're in a godly friendship and maybe you expected more from that friendship. So what we're doing on the podcast this month is having real conversations about the things that can keep us from godly friendships and community, but also how we can realistically and practically weave this into every day of our life, because it's not our good idea. This was created by God, and it is a vital part of us living every day as our best day ever. So let's get to our interview guest today, because I am so excited to have Jill Savage on the show. Hi, Jill.
Hello, Katie.
Jill is a friend of mine, but she is also such a wise speaker and author. Jill is passionate about encouraging families. She is the author or co-author of 14 books, including Professionalizing Motherhood, Real Moms, Real Jesus, No More Perfect Moms, No More Perfect Marriages, and her most recent release, Empty Nest, Full Life. Jill has been featured on Focus on the Family, Crosswalk.com, Family Life Today, and Today's Christian Woman Magazine. She's the founder of Hearts at Home, an organization that encouraged moms for more than 20 years. And Jill and her husband, Mark, have 5 children and 8 grandchildren. And then this is just my favorite thing to say every time. They make their home in Normal, Illinois. And I love that.
Yep, there is such a place.
There is such a place, but Jill is far from normal.
That's right. Or maybe I'm more normal than anybody realizes. Let's redefine what is normal. I think that's really what I've spent my life doing, Katie, is helping people know what's normal in parenting, helping them know what's normal in marriage, helping them know what is normal in life. And oftentimes our expectations of what's normal is skewed. Yeah. So I'm happy to share all my screw ups so that people know what is normal.
And that is so good and so true. I love that. Redefining normal, because we have an idea and then we measure ourselves up against that. And it's really not the measure that we're using isn't the normal. What we are living is the normal.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And so Jill, now you've written a book that is specifically about friendships and having godly community. And I didn't mention that when I introduced you, but what is the name of that resource?
Yes, it's Better Together, because you're not meant to mom alone.
Wow. And the thing is, like, so let's stop right there about specifically moms, because I mean, I'm a mom, you're a mom, and my kids are still at home, but you're a grandmother now too. And so I know that's a whole, so here's one thing that I do want to point out. Because I think sometimes, and maybe you've run into this too, Jill, as a mother, so I still have my kids at home. Mine are ranging in age from first grade to freshman in high school. And one thing that I have found is that sometimes as a mom, maybe when we have a lot of toddlers or we're doing the crazy teen years, we keep thinking that it'll be different in the next season of life. And so community and godly friendships are something we kind of just keep kicking down the road. Like it, you know, it'll be more convenient later, or there will be more time for this later. And then what I find is when I talk to people who are another season down the road, I hear things like, nope, it's no different now. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would. I do think that there are different seasons of life where it's a little bit easier. Like, for instance, I like to call, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom, okay, and this, because this makes a big difference, but I like to call the preschool season of life, if you've just got preschoolers, I call that the golden years of motherhood friendships. Mm-hmm. And the reason I do is it's so easy to get together with other moms and let the kids play and right. for you to talk. And so they're just, I mean, when I look back at my journey, those early years were some really precious years of just doing life with other women. And I had to learn how to do that. I mean, I didn't really know how, and we can talk about some specific ways, but I do think that, you know, is a it can be a really precious time. And even for a working mom, you know, that might have a friend over on a Saturday and let the kids play, or on a Sunday. And so it's so very important, though, that, you know, that we are engaging with women that are in the same season of life as us. And then you get into the season of life where your kids, which really the one you're in, first grade, right. freshman in high school. I call this the grand season of bleacher butt friends. How's that? This is the grand season of bleacher butt friends. And
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. What are you doing? You are sitting on the sidelines of, you know, soccer fields and basketball courts. And maybe, you know, if your kids aren't sports oriented, it's in piano recitals, you know, so you are engaging with other parents whose kids are at the same level that yours are, simply because you are gathering in places and it makes it convenient. Mm-hmm. So that's a unique season. And then you've got the empty nest season, which is what I'm in now. But that empty nest season, you know, yes, do I have a lot more flexibility to maybe have a really long lunch with friends, or to even do a getaway with a girlfriend? Yes. But I'm not in situations, unless I'm in like a Sunday school class or a small group, I'm not in situations where empty nest moms are gathering. Mm-hmm. So we have to work really hard to make those connections in this season of life. So all of them have benefits. All of them have challenges. But Jesus did life in community. He modeled it for us. And so we can't put it on the back burner because we need each other.
That is so good. And, you know, one thing, as you were talking through each one of those seasons of life, which I think all of our listeners can find themselves in one of those seasons, you know, and maybe if you don't have children, you know, you're a little bit of all of those seasons. Like, maybe you're understanding the empty nest season a little bit, because there's not as much opportunity for people in similar seasons to gather. I know that a lot of times, if you're just a single woman in the workforce, that's what you do. You work. And then when maybe the rest of your friends are in a different season than you, the ones that you had up until this point in your life. And so you could possibly identify a little bit with a woman in the empty nest season, because that community isn't just necessarily right in front of you, woven into the regular rhythms of your life. But what I kept hearing, Jill, as you talked about each one of those, is just the intentionality that is required. Yes. Because, you know, I've been in all of those seasons except the empty nest. And here's the thing, I'm going to talk about the bleacher butt season?
The bleacher butt season.
Because, you know what, you can still go sit your bottom on the bleacher all by yourself. I mean, yes. if you don't go into it intentionally, you can isolate even when you're surrounded by people doing the same thing that you are. And sometimes that can be tempting, because maybe community feels like work, or maybe it feels like you're being transparent and you're concerned about whether or not that's safe even to put yourself out there that way. So Jill, talk to me I know that you mentioned you had some specific ways that you made room for community in your life. So talk us through some of those.
Well, you know what, Katie, as you were just saying, you can sit in a room of people, you can sit on the bleachers with people and still be very isolated. And a lot of it starts with what's going on inside of your head. Mm-hmm. And so I've learned that there are two types of people in this world. There are those that walk into a situation and they say, here I am. Here I am. Come talk to me. Come make me feel comfortable. Come ask me about me. And there are those that walk into a room or a situation and they say, there you are. You look interesting. I think I want to get to know you. And our ability to engage in relationship with other people is directly correlated to whether we are operating out of a here I am mindset or a there you are mindset. And this has been a big change for me. I'm naturally an introvert. And so I'm naturally want to walk into a room and be that here I am person, or even like, okay, I'm here, but I hope nobody sees me. Like, I want to be like, you know, I want to just like fade into the wallpaper type of a thing. But I often realized is that I would walk out of those situations feeling very lonely. And so when I started, this is a very spiritual journey, because Jesus was a there you are person. You know, I mean, think about when he was coming into the city and he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus.
Yes.
And he said, I see you. I see you. Come here. I'm going to come to your house, you know. And when the woman at the well, he saw her. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is a master at seeing people, and we need to be as well. And that takes the focus off us. It takes the focus off our comfort level and puts it on making someone else feel comfortable, mm-hmm. helping someone else be seen. So I still have to preach this to myself. If I go into a church meeting, if I go into, especially when I still had kids and I'd have to go to like a PTA meeting or something like that. If I go into a Bible study, even as a speaker, when I walk into a room and I know no one, I can very easily slip into that, here I am. And I have to preach it to myself and go, all right, Jill. And I'll talk to the Lord. All right, Lord, who do I need to see? Who do I need to see? Who do you have for me?
And here's what I want to, as I'm listening to you, oh my goodness, Jill, that is a game changer in the words of a football
wife. Yes, it is.
That is a game changer. And here's what I want to say to the person who's hearing this and you're feeling the same way I am, which is just, wow, that, yes, all of that, something that we can repeat to ourselves as we are about to walk into those situations. And we know we all have the tendency to kind of shrink back and let something happen for us instead of stepping out. But what I keep hearing is, yes, Jesus was, he had the there you are mindset. But the thing is, Jesus sees me and Jesus sees you. And Jesus said, yes, there you are to us. So because Jesus said, there you are to me, I can go in and say, there you are to someone else because of what Jesus has already done for me.
Yes. And because we don't want to just do it on our own power. We do it and we do it like holding his hand, you know, and it's like, all right, Lord, we're walking into this room together. What do you got for me? Who do I need to see? Who looks interesting? Who are you going to connect the dots to in this room? What a difference it makes. And, you know, they may not become your best friend. They might. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, they completely might. Because here's another thing that I have learned. You have to be forward to move a friendship forward. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? You know, I think oftentimes we want to be the one that gets invited. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need to be the inviter or the initiator. Mm-hmm. And one of my very closest friendships, through my earlier years of mothering, happened outside the church nursery. And we were new in our, we were new in the community. We had just moved to town. My husband was a intern at the church that we were attending. I had little ones that I was putting in the nursery and in the Sunday, you know, in Sunday school classes. And I met this woman because our kids were in the same classes and we kept running into each other. And she said, "Hey, sometime, you want to go to the pool together?" And where I live in Normal, Illinois, is the the capital of State Farm Insurance. So the corporate offices are here. We are one of the few families that live in this community that don't work for State Farm. And anyone that works for State Farm has access to this beautiful State Farm park that had this big pool. So we didn't obviously have access. And she said, "Would you like to go to State Farm Park sometime?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I would love that." And so I kept waiting for her to initiate that, you know, over weeks. And we'd see each other and she'd kind of mention it again, and but nothing would happen. And finally, probably 5 weeks in, I picked up the phone. And I called her on a Monday morning. I said, "Are you planning to go to State Farm Park this week?" And she said, "I am. Would you like to go?" And I said, "I would love that." So in essence, I invited myself. And and so, you know what? We went and we just, I mean, we chatted and we had such a good time and we just, you know, began to get together. I invited her over, we let the kids play in little kiddie pools in the backyard and we began to build a friendship, but it started because I was forward in that relationship, which was scary because you do risk rejection, but you'll never know until you give it a try.
And I will say this, something that I had to learn is one of the things in a situation like you just described, Jill, and you're thinking about being forward. One of the things that I found kind of whispering in my head was they already have their friends. They're going to do things with their friends that they already have. You know, no, they're not thinking of you. They don't need you. They don't want you to come along. They already... And what I found as I practiced this idea of being forward in my friendships is that the women that I assumed already had their circles, already had their rhythms, and they didn't need me or, you know, they weren't looking for a new friend, I was wrong about that a lot of times. That there were women that I just assumed had their groove, if you will. But they were as they were craving friendship as much as I was. And I didn't know it until I made, like you said, sometimes that scary choice to be forward. But I would tell you more often than not, I would, what I learned is that they needed it as much as I did.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, maybe on the rare occasion, you'll find somebody that won't, that will feel like, you know, their plate is full. And that's okay. We have to realize that people are in different places. But you're right, Katie. I would say 99% of the time, people actually are longing for it, just like you are.
And I can think of, just off the top of my head, I can think of two different women who have been forward with me. They were the ones that made the choice to be forward. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I should be more like that. Look at the gift of what they just gave me. And I learned it from them. And I was like, why don't I treat other people like that? Because they just gave me such a gift by choosing to be forward with me. And so it's not, at, you know, if you're thinking, well, that sounds like it could be an inconvenience to someone or it could be a burden to someone. I call it a gift. When people have done it to me, it has been a gift and a blessing. So if we can kind of change how we think about that and think, you know, maybe me being forward in this friendship will be as much of a gift and a blessing to someone else as it could be for me.
Yes. Yes. That is exactly right. While we're on this subject, Katie, I think another piece about kind of being forward. So sometimes friendships can develop in hard seasons of life. And you know, I've been through some really tough stuff, and I talk very openly about it. My husband went through a midlife crisis 10 years ago and left. It was a very dark year before he returned and our marriage was restored. 2 years later, I had breast cancer and went through chemo and radiation and surgery. And one of the things that I learned in that hard season, both of those hard seasons of life, is people want to help. Mm-hmm. But one of the most ineffective things that we say to people in crisis is, let me know what you need. Mm-hmm. We have a good heart when we do it, because we don't want to, you know, we don't want to step where we're not welcome. We want to tread lightly, all of that. But let me tell you something. When somebody is in crisis, they don't know what they need.
Right.
And so one of the best ways that we can also move a friendship forward is to literally just show up and to not ask what can be done, but rather to offer in a more bold way, or to simply, I mean, you know that when somebody's in a crisis, they need to eat, right?
Right.
So just show up with the food. I mean, so many people during my cancer journey literally just showed up at the door and said, I made double of what we had for dinner last night. Here, stick this in your fridge whenever you need it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that was way better than somebody saying, can I bring you a meal? And then, or not even, can I bring you a meal? Let me know what you need. And so I think a lot of times we need to be a little bit more forward with our offers. It could be, when my husband left, I was emotionally a wreck. I couldn't go to the grocery store. Because I would run into someone and all they would have to say is, hey, Jill, how are things going? And I would just dissolve into a puddle on aisle 10, you know? Right. And so I had a girlfriend. She would call me and she would say, hey, I'm at the grocery store. What do you need?
Yeah.
Okay. That is a specific offer of help. Hey, I have, you know, when I was going through chemo, hey, I have 2 hours Thursday afternoon. I'd like to come and clean whatever rooms are bothering you the most, or just clean your bathrooms. I mean, it was very specific offers right. of help, and those made all the difference. So we need to be forward in not only in creating new friendships and developing and investing in them, but we need to be forward in our offers of help.
And I think sometimes we might say, oh, but I just don't know them well enough. But I'm going to tell you, so even just recently with all of the COVID stuff and mm-hmm. people, so I actually had COVID, recovered from it. Mm-hmm. And then you know what that meant? Then I could go serve people who had COVID. Because yep. I wasn't at risk of getting it immediately. And so when that started happening, and it's what you said about the specific, because people will tell you no. Like if you say, hey, can I bring you a meal? If you text that, they're going to write you back and say, we're good.
No, we're good. No,
because that's just what we do as women. It just is. Mm-hmm. We don't write yep. that. No, honestly, I'm falling apart. That would be fabulous. We don't do that. And so you have to phrase it in a way. And like one of the people who got sick was someone who she serves me most of the time and she loves to serve. So she doesn't like for other people to have to take care of her. And so what you yep. have to do is kind of not give them an option. It's like you said, I'm going to bring dinner on Tuesday. I'll be there around 5:30 and I'll drop it off on the bench outside of your door, you know? Yep. And then what do they,
yes.
and then what happens is they really do need it. It really will bless them. And you've already shown them that you've made a plan. And then I even had one who I did that for, who wrote back like the day of and said it was bad weather. And they were like, no, please don't worry about it. It's bad weather. Don't get out. And I wrote right back and I was like, it's already in the oven and I'm already out. We're good. But it's, and it was a blessing. But yep. it's just about kind of making that intentional decision and then not being rude about it, but just being bold enough to let them know, I want to help. We're doing this. Nobody's saying that you can't handle it. That's not what this is about.
Yep.
It's just about the you know, one of the verses that I read when we started off this series was about how it says in the Bible for us to encourage one another and build each other up. And these are practical ways to do that. And I'll tell you this, because of how our just the, even in the last year and how so many things have changed, even if you're not in the same town as someone, you can send them a meal.
You sure can.
We have so many resources right now. And you can, even if you don't have someone's phone number, you can send them a message on social media. I mean, there's just, you know, that's one of the things with it's having the conversation about godly friendships and encouraging one another and building each other up. What's so crazy is that our ability to communicate is at an all-time high. We can communicate with people and in ways that we've never been able to do before. But what's crazy is that even though our communication is at an all-time high, reports and things show that our connection is at an all-time low.
Yes.
So let's build on what's available to us, not just communicating with people, but connecting.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so true. And let's talk for a moment about this whole concept of receiving, because yes, you're right. It's like we don't want to put people out. We don't want people to think that we don't have it together. But, you know, this happened many, many years ago, but boy, it stuck with my husband and I. My husband was a seminary student. He was at a Bible college. We were non-traditional students. So we had two young kids at the time. And we went to church one Sunday. Now, we were poor seminary students. I mean, poorer than poor. There were some weeks I thought, how can we even go to the grocery store? I don't even know how we're going to do this. And one Sunday, the pastor walked up to Mark at church. And, you know, we were this little church, and he walked up, "Hey, Mark, how you doing?" And he shook Mark's hand, and Mark felt him put something in his pocket. And as he started to walk away, Mark reached into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill. And Mark immediately turned around and said to Pastor Don, he said, "Oh, no, 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 I can't take this." And Don turned around and he said, "Never deny me the opportunity to serve my Lord."
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
I think the kids call that roasted right now. Kids would go roasted.
I know. Wow. It was so powerful. I mean, I can still see us standing there in the church foyer. It was so powerful because it was about God had prompted him.
Right.
And he was obedient to it. And somebody had to receive for him to be able to give.
Right.
And so sometimes we have to be on that receiving end in order for somebody to be learning how to give, for somebody to be obedient to the prompting that God has given to them. So I think that's so important.
Yes. I mean, what you just revealed is that sometimes living in godly community and engaging in godly friendship is being willing to receive. It's not always about what you're doing for someone else. It's sometimes about what you're allowing someone else to do for you.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's not one-sided. You know, we even talked about in Paul's letters, which were, you know, that was Paul engaging in godly community, is writing letters to the churches where he couldn't be physically present. And he not only gave them challenges and exhortation and encouragement, but he also shared with them what was happening in his life where he was. And then they would send people, or they would send, you know, material resources to help Paul. It was even modeled that way in the New Testament letters, that community isn't a one-way street. It's both of us, some being willing to pursue, but others being willing to receive.
Yes. Yes. And so when we tell somebody no, when they offer help, it denies that person the opportunity to say yes. when God prompts them to serve. So we really need to be willing to both give and receive.
Jill, this has been such a rich conversation, and I just feel like we have been able to touch on so many of the things that might trip us up as we consider engaging, and not just consider, but commit to engaging in godly friendships and community. And for those of you listening, maybe you need to press pause and take this in smaller chunks. But just as we conclude this conversation, let's review the things that we've talked about. Jill, the first thing that we talked about was the difference between a here I am mindset and a there you are mindset when you mm-hmm. enter into a new situation or walk into a room. And what, Jill, tell us the second thing that we talked about, moving friendships
forward. You've got to be forward to move a friendship forward.
And then the last thing that we just discussed,
we have to be willing to both give and receive, because when we receive, we allow someone the opportunity to serve their God.
So beautiful. Wow. I'm so thankful for you joining us today, Jill. Thank you for the wisdom and just the very practical things that you have shared with us. And I pray that as we leave this conversation, each one of us will look for ways to apply even just one of these things today. As we go into the day, as we go get in car line or go back to work after our lunch break, or walk into our home and we make a plan to meet someone tomorrow, I pray that you'll find one way to apply one of these. And then as you apply one, you'll move to the next one and find a way to apply it. Because truly, if we're going to live every day as our best day ever, we're going to need godly friendship and community in each part of our day. Jill, thank you so much mm-hmm. for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And let's go make today the best day ever.